You're listening to The Big Show with Russick and Rose on the official home of your Calgary Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back to The Big Show. This one from Pedro and Cochrane. No lo trates by Pitbull. It's hot outside. Turn it up. Get the heat going. Yeah. It's Pitbull.
Yes. Yes. Well done, Patrick.
Thank you.
We've been taking your Pitbull songs all morning because I'm going to Stampede for the first time, and he's going to be one of the acts. So now, we're taking your Pitbull requests.
The thing, he's not, I don't think he's at the Stampede grounds. He's going to be at one of the tents,
okay,
no, I think.
He's on the grounds. He's going to be in Calgary.
Yeah, he's saddled on.
Oh, he's dome.
He's big dog. He's not part of the Cowboys Festival.
All right.
Yeah, he's going to be here.
All right, good for Pitbull.
No, Cowboys Festival is different. That was like Jack Harlow. And
Jack Harlow's big.
Get your Pitbull request in, 960, 960, name and location.
You know Pitbull's a NASCAR owner?
Mm.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something like a Pisces.
His new album is called Trackhouse, which is the team he owns. He owns it called Trackhouse Racing.
Oh, yeah. All right. Intern Ben is going to do the introduction for the next segment. Ben, are you nervous about this?
No, I think I got it down.
Yeah, okay. No.
I don't like that from our interns.
That guy knows. No,
I want you to be nervous about it. Last time I put an intern on the air and he wasn't nervous, he fell asleep on the Friday.
Oh, Ben's good, man. Ben's
okay.
He's very sleepy, though.
960, 960, name and location.
Probably still sleeping.
Bottom of the hour, the golf guys. Brent Gunning was at the Rory McIlroy presser.
That just happened.
We'll get some details on what Rory McIlroy had to say. And by the way, Lionel Messi on his way to Inter Miami, which is gigantic news in the sporting world.
Biggest MLS get ever.
He'll play this summer for Inter Miami, which is huge. To break down that signing, he covers the Flames for Sportsnet on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar.
Not yet. Alex hasn't called him.
Oh, it's 8:05.
It's 8:05, yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, Eric Francis will be all over the Lionel Messi signing to Inter Miami. How much is he going to dominate that league, Patrick?
It is a much more quality of league than it was, let's say, when David Beckham came in. Like, what was that, 06, 07 around that time? I think it's going to do wonders for the league. I think he's going to, it's going to be competitive for him. I don't think he's going to dominate it because.
Are you sure?
I don't think he's going to overly dominate the MLS.
Okay, like he's going to be a good score player. Like 5 goals a game.
Because, though. I mean, look, there's some good, like, Toronto's got Bernardeschi and then Insigne.
Who Bob Bradley took out of the squad.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that with Peter Galindo at 9. Okay. But yeah, no, it's. I think he's going to have a good time. I don't think he's going to be overly dominant, though. He's an older guy now. But
come on. He was.
I know. He's still
really
good. He
sparkled at the World Cup.
16 goals, 16 assists at PSG. Yeah, maybe he will dominate. Yeah.
Like, have you seen some of the defenders in the MLS?
Yeah. Yeah,
like, what is the
scout? And Inter Miami just fired their head coach, Phil Neville, as well. So I'm wondering, I don't even know who the heck they named there. So, yeah.
Matty, who's the new coach of Inter Miami?
You know the new manager?
Phil?
Hey, Phil.
Do you think you can name 5 MLS franchises? Who can name more? Western Hockey League teams, me, or MLS franchises, you?
You, Western Hockey
League. I think I can. Yeah, I think I can.
Yeah.
I don't think you can name 5 MLS teams.
Can you name the 3 Canadians?
Yeah,
the Vancouver Whitecaps, yeah. Toronto FC,
yeah,
Montreal FC,
CF Montreal,
yeah,
CF
Club Montreal. De Foot,
yeah, because they speak French. Over
worst
there.
Game,
they used
worst
to be Montreal ever. Impact. Okay. Yeah, it was better.
Give me 5 American MLS franchises.
Inter Miami,
yeah,
good job,
and Real Salt Lake,
yeah. Yes,
2.
There's one named after an energy drink.
Don't do it. That's 2.
Isn't there one in like New England?
Yes.
Yeah, what are they called?
They are the New England football guys.
Yes. Yeah, the New England football.
What are they called?
The New England Revolution.
Okay.
The Revs.
Yeah, the Revs. All right. There's a Red Ball team in California.
No, what? New York.
New York. Okay.
New York Red Bulls.
Yeah. Uh huh.
They play in New Jersey like every other New York team.
True.
That's it.
You're done.
I'm in.
What about one of the LA teams?
Come on,
Galaxy.
Yeah, there you go.
LA Galaxy.
Who's the other one?
LA
it's easy.
Mercury.
LAFC.
FC.
Oh,
and they have the best. Darby name out of anyone in sports. They call it, when LAFC plays the LA Galaxy, they call it El Trafico, which is the best thing ever.
Because there's lots of traffic in LA.
Yeah, it's the best name ever.
That's really good.
It's not like the Merseyside Derby or whatever.
Merseyside.
Or like, I'm sorry, Merseyside, or like the 401 Derby between Toronto FC and Montreal. Yeah. No.
The Cascadia, like, which was
El Trafico is far and away the best.
Like, how many teams are in the MLS?
28.
It's like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, you've said that over and over.
Yeah, like I don't
San
understand.
Diego's getting a team now.
Just keep them coming.
All They're going to be a 40
keep
team
Keep
up in
the values of these teams.
I'm going to look at these standings to see where these teams are.
Joining us on the line now, he covers the Flames for Sports.
Cincinnati?
FC Cincinnati.
Full coverage on Lionel Messi going to Inter Miami. Eric Francis joins us. Eric, your thoughts on Messi to Miami.
Yeah, did I call in on the wrong day, guys? Is this MLS Wednesday?
No, we're just getting Maddie to name like five American MLS teams. He couldn't do it.
No.
No, nor could I.
Okay.
Nor could I.
All right, that's fine.
Like, not a chance. I still, the last time I cared about North American soccer, it was the New York Cosmos, the Toronto Blizzard.
Yeah.
Joe Canalia, Brian Budd. I got, that's a lot of years ago. Ace Netzelengwe. It was a long time ago. Joe
that was a real
Sono.
Person?
Yeah, Ace Netzelengwe and Jomo Sono, two African players who came over to play for the Blizzard. Like, this is in the early 80s, boys. Like, they would play the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Man.
That's when Pelé played for New York, right? The Cosmos.
That's right. Yeah, he had that one game at the very last game of his career. He played half the game with the Cosmos and half with his Brazilian team to say goodbye to the soccer world. It's funny that you guys are laughing about naming five MLS teams. I'd have a better chance of naming five teams from the 80s in the NASL, the North American Soccer League, than I could from the current soccer world. But that said, it's cool news, right? This has been rumored for a while, even though I don't follow soccer rumors.
Yeah.
This has been something that people have talked about that he might do. And I think it's great. I mean, it's not like he's the first guy to ever do it. And I don't think he's going to dominate like everyone thinks he's going to dominate. But I'll tell you what he will do is dominate the conversation. And that's awesome for that league, right?
Can you name the four teams that the CFL expanded to in the United States in 1994?
Funny you ask, because I covered the league back then. So, yes, Birmingham Barracuda, San Antonio, Shreveport Pirates.
Yeah.
And was it Vegas Posse?
Yeah. The Memphis Mad Dogs.
Memphis Mad Dogs. Yeah, that was Matt Dunnigan's team.
Yeah. Baltimore Stallions, who were a wagon in the CFL back then.
That's right.
Won the Grey Cup.
I always remember that era because it introduced me to like the two crappiest cities I'd ever been to in my life in North America. And that's Birmingham and Memphis, and just by the grace of God, I didn't have to go to Shreveport, so that worked out well.
lots of questions about the Calgary Flames I wanted to ask you. Maddie and I, with no insider information whatsoever, said, maybe this is the week we hear about a head coach.
We say a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah,
hey?
Like, because we're dumb.
Yeah.
What's the, within 2 weeks here, Eric, like, what's your sense on the timeline of a new head coach, if you could guess?
Yeah, I would say for sure within 2 weeks. If it's not late this week, then I would think I'd put heavy money that it'll be next week. Funny, I reached out to Patrick Waugh's representation the other day after they won the Memorial Cup. I said, I just wanted to know if the Flames had talked to Patrick Waugh, and they haven't. Patrick's been pretty busy, understandably. I love that possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I think they're well down the road, and I think they're going to name him, you know, within days here, if not early next week. But, man, that Patrick Waugh, you'd have to make that call, wouldn't you, just to see? I mean, the guys, you talk about highly touted guys like Mitch Love and other people who are, you know, who've got impressive resumes or young up-and-comers. How about a guy with an established, proven resume as a coach and as a player and as a leader and as a guy who moves the needle in every single way? Like, so I'm sure they're making that phone call. His agent told me that he's going to, you know, it's been a little early because he's still sobering up probably from the celebration, but at some point real soon you're going to hear his name, I think, linked with a couple teams.
Well, how fun would that be? Because he's also – you didn't mention insane in all of that, Eric, because he's such a fiery competitor.
He is nuts. And I think I mentioned it last time that I brought him up is, you know, when Craig Conroy was a rookie. Yeah. I mean, I think if they do have a shot, it'll have to be they'll have to break the ice first, because – when Craig Conroy was a rookie with the Montreal Canadiens, he rattled one off of Patrick Roy's mask in his first practice, and Patrick Roy came racing out to beat him up, and he had the other guys had to jump in and separate them. So I'm sure they buried the hatchet on that one, but it just sure makes for a great little storyline if they do end up meeting.
Now, with this head coach, we've heard a lot of different names had been thrown out there. Patrick Roy is certainly an interesting one. Like you mentioned, a couple of weeks here. How important is it to get that done so they can try and touch on all these UFAs before they get to the draft?
You cracked up there. Just how important is it to get the coach?
Get the coach done so they can move on to these players that are going to have 1 year left all before the draft and kind of make sure that they, you know, have some idea of the intent for those players so they can address it at, you know, 3 weeks' time here.
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't think the coach is all that important. Like, if they did go to the draft and leave without a coach, like, that's not going to happen. But if they did, I don't think anyone would be bothered by it. Like, the coach doesn't – sure, the coach has a voice at the table. And in all personnel moves, you'd like to think that your coach would have at least a little input. But I don't think it's that important. Now, because I think that they're leaning towards hiring internally, I think that – those guys, like certainly if it's a Ryan Huska in some capacity as coach, assistant coach, he knows these guys like the Lindholms, the Noah Hannafins, and perhaps he can have a say in talking these guys into the possibility of a long-term contract as opposed to the Flames having to trade them because they won't sign here. So I do think that input could be valuable in terms of trying to en masse keep guys in the fold. But other than that, I don't think it's really that important that the coach is hired, you know. Again, you want everything done soon because guys are getting plucked by other teams, right? You don't want to lose one of your options like they already have with Andrew Brunette and stuff like that. But coaches are there to coach. They're not there to make personnel decisions.
Well, I wanted to ask you this question. I gave it to Maddie. I want to get your opinion on it. Who's more likely to be a Calgary Flame game one of the regular season, Chris Tanev or Michael Backlund?
Tanev, for sure. Yeah, I would say Tanev, and I'll tell you why. Because if Backlund shows that he doesn't really want to sign long-term or commit that way, then they'll probably have to trade him. If Tanev shows no signs of wanting to sign long-term, I don't think they would trade him because I don't think you're going to get a whole lot for him. Not to say that he's not a really great and important player for the Calgary Flames, because I think he is. He's arguably their, you know, if not their most important defenseman, he's their top two. But I just think given his age, given the mounting injuries over the last year, I just don't think you're going to land anywhere close to what you'd get for a Backlund. And that's not to say you're going to get a huge haul for Backlund either because of his advanced age, but I certainly think there'd be a whole lot more interest. And I just think the team would need to move on from Backlund if he's not going to sign here long term.
Eric, we've kind of bantered about the idea of moving one of these defensemen, whether it is Chris Tanev or whether it is Noah Hanifin, but whatever happens, you would have to fill that hole. How would you see the Flames doing it? Would it be through free agency? Do they think that anybody in the organization is ready? What would be the next step?
Well, they said they're going to keep roster spots open, and, you know, I think we always just think of forwards when we think of that, but I think they want to leave I don't know if they want to leave one open for defense because – if you don't move any of your defensemen, you're still pretty full for next year. And that is a popular theory that maybe it's time to move one of these guys, get a little something for them, and open up some roster spots for some youngsters or just some new blood. You know, I know a guy like Troy Stetcher and Michael Stone, both very popular with the fan base, popular with teammates, both heart and soul guys who you can depend on. And I think Stetcher in particular really grew on people in his, you know, 20-game audition or whatever it was down the stretch. But there's really no room for either of them right now if you're bringing back all the other guys and Oliver Shillington's coming back. So, you know, there are some familiar faces, but, you know, I think as a new general manager, Craig Connor's probably got some ideas on one or two guys. You know, Chris Snow will have some input, too, on one or two guys who analytically look good and maybe size-wise look good. And who that I'm sure they'd like to bring in, you know, at least one or two new faces to the group. Because the group they had last year wasn't as good as everyone kind of thought it was going to be. And I know they were down on Oliver Shillington, but still, at the end of the day, I don't think it's the worst thing to switch things up on that blue line just a little bit.
We are expecting Shillington to return. Is there any way to gauge what a fair expectation would be for him in his return over to North America?
Yeah, I don't know. That's missing a whole year of pro hockey it doesn't happen very often. I'm pretty sure that with his skating capability and the fact that he was staying in shape and skating regularly over there, I don't think it's going to be a problem because he can overcome a lot of things with that speed and that skating ability that he has. It may take him a while, quarter of a season. I don't know what it is till he feels really, really comfortable again playing a regular role in the National Hockey League. But I'm not too worried about it. I don't think the organization is either. Talking to people inside the organization, they're all breathing a sigh of relief that this guy is expected to be back because I think everyone thinks he can pick up right where he left off.
Eric, we talked about Noah Hanifin, and after obviously Elias Lindholm and potentially an extension with him, if that in fact happens, is Noah Hanifin then number two on that list of guys you should be able to, or at least really try hard to keep here long term in Calgary?
Yeah, I do think so. I think that when you talk about those seven pending, UFAs, I think the top of the list by a mile, of course, and everybody's talking about is Elias Lindholm, but I there's no question about it. Noah Hanifin is a cornerstone defenseman that any team in the league would love to have. He's what, 25 or 26? He's been in the league for 19 years or whatever. Yeah. Whatever the numbers are, the guy's he's a great skater. He does a lot of things well, and I think that he's a guy that, if he shows hesitation in signing long term, I think you have to trade him right away too. Those are the two guys that top the list to me, and it's awful to have to think that those two guys they acquired in that Carolina trade they were so good for this team. But if it's all about asset management, those are two massive assets that you need to maximize your return on as soon as possible. And it's going to hurt to trade a guy like that, as it will with Lindholm. But Conroy, and I think a lot of people are happy that Conroy said we just can't.
Oh no, we lost him. He has to run too.
That's too bad.
Because he's at the airport. But again,
hey boys, you still there?
Oh, yeah, hey, we got you.
Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, sorry, boys. Sorry.
It's all right. You get animated sometimes, and we appreciate that from you. Did your face hit a button on your phone? Is that what happened?
No, I'm in my car, and I had it on. I turned it off, and then the car turned off. Anyway.
All right.
Technical stuff, yeah.
I totally agree with you on asset management when it comes to Noah Hanifin. I know you're on you got to run to the airport, but do you have something that irks you so we can wrap up the hit today?
It's funny. I was thinking about it, and there are generally things that irk me, and we can get to them, but I'm on my way to a boys' trip with my three best buddies out east, and even those people on the plane today who still can't navigate through the really highly complex seating charts that are clearly posted above every row, they're not going to bother me today. Nothing is going to irk me today. So,
wow.
No, I don't have anything that irks me today. No, it's boys' weekend, and nothing could get me down today. So I can't even go down that road today, boys.
Now, with that being said, you want to drop your Twitter handle? I'm sure they'd give it a shot. I'm sure they'd give it a shot. Oh.
No, you're assuming I read what people comment on. You can tweet all you want. At Eric Francis. Go fill your boots. I'll
there you go. Back. Let them know. Love it.
The franchise, Eric Francis. Safe travels, pal. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for this.
You guys are hilarious. Have a great week.
There he is. Eric Francis, the best, the legend. And he's been pretty adamant on our show that he doesn't think Lindholm's going to stay long term.
Nope. He kind of sounds that way with both the Swedish forwards, if I'm being...
And he was ultimately right about Gaudreau and Tkachuk.
Oh, listen, there's a handful of people in this city that I trust with my Flames news. There's three of them. They all work for Sportsnet.
I thought, is one Texty McTexterson?
Yes, the other one's Texty McTexterson.
Okay.
He's actually the fourth.
Okay, all right. And one is not me. Well, that's good. You
no,
shouldn't.
You're not.
Nope.
It's not Dumont. It's not Brody. It's
you
not
sure
Ben.
It's not Brody?
Actually, it's Ben.
Okay. Ben, you entrust him with all your Flames news. I'm looking forward to intern Ben introducing a Pitbull song coming up at 8:30 here as we talk to the golf guys. Brent Gunning, Sam McKee. Brent Gunning was in the Rory McIlroy news conference today. So we'll get his thoughts on Rory McIlroy being a beaten down man. And what I'm hearing
have
is,
have you seen some of these quotes, man?
Yeah, apparently he's kind of like turned over to this, to the dark side too, a little bit.
Yeah, it's not a. These vibes are not high, bro.
Yeah, quote, I've come to terms with it. I've resigned myself to this is what's going to happen. It's very hard to keep up with people who have more money than anyone else.
It's like, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
He is not wrong.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to the golf guys about that. And actually, it is the RBC Canadian Open this weekend, which sucks for the tournament because it's completely getting overshadowed. Yeah, you couldn't ruin Jack's tournament last week and do this. No, you got to mess up our national tournament. Thanks.
Yeah.
Good announcement Sunday at Muirfield Village. No.
Nope. Canadian Open, its scheduling is always terrible. It's either
no,
right
it's better
after,
now than
no,
it was.
No, now it is. But I'm saying before, it was either right after a major.
Yeah, after the Open Championship.
It got COVID, took it away for 2 years.
Yep.
And the last 2 years, Liv and the Saudis have dominated it. It's been sad. It's the forgotten tournament amongst the golfing world.
And I don't like it.
It's like the oldest. I don't know if it's the oldest continuation.
No, the Open Championship.
The Open Championship, but in North America.
Yeah.
It's got to be one of the oldest tournaments.
That's
St. Andrews.
I like that.
It's Royal Liverpool this year, I think, eh?
Mm. Yeah. The U.S. Open teeing it up soon. We got to jump into our golf pool. Where Matty Rose wants some money.
You got some late night golf.
Shut up, bro. Let's go.
Then you got the U.S. Open coming up.
Late night golf.
Well, they'll be finishing up at like 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock here.
Yeah, I love it because it's in California.
Yeah,
I love prime time
golf.
Is it
the L.A. Country Club? Is that what they're playing?
Yep. Yeah. Max Homa, who dominates in California.
Max Homa, who already has an excellent Twitter presence and yesterday
was even better.
Ran it up.
Lots of golf talk straight ahead. Brent Gunning, Sam McKee, and intern Ben going to bring us back from break with a Pitbull song. We'll do that next. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose.
Mr. Worldwide.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Your number one spot for Flames coverage can be found on Flames Talk with me, Pat Steinberg. Exclusive interviews, trusted insiders, and the latest news. Listen live weekday afternoons at 4 or stream the Flames Talk podcast on demand.
All right. Welcome back to The Big Show with Russick and Rose. Suggestion from Chris in Calgary, Fireball by Pitbull. We've been playing Pitbull all morning, taking your suggestions. Thanks, Chris, for suggesting this song. Great one. Classic Fireball.
Woo!
Great
Let's go! Turn up for Ben!
Great job, Ben.
Classic Fireball.
Yeah, Fireball.
Intern Ben, bringing us back.
Great choice of a song. Classic Fireball.
From the break. That's the Big Show. Russick and Rose Sports at 960 The Fan, live from Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Give us one more Pitbull song as we say goodbye for our portion of the Big Show today. 960-960 in the South Trail Hyundai.
Can I do the FM throw to it later, please?
You've already done it. We'll get Alex to do the goodbye then.
Fine.
Joining us on the line now, some golf news around the world. The RBC Canadian Open's teeing it up tomorrow at Oakdale. That's fun. But also the biggest sports story of the year as the PIF has bought and everything golf-related. Joining us on the line, the golf guys from Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto, Brent Gunning and Sam McKee joins us. Gentlemen, good morning. Sam, let's start with you. I know you were... I don't want to say you were a staunch supporter of LIV Golf because you wanted to live your best life, but how much are you petting maybe a hairless cat in front of a roaring fire with a snifter of brandy saying it was all about money anyway and you're not too surprised by all of this?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm taking any victory laps on this outside of, you know, making fun of Gunner for the last 24 hours is probably the only victory lap I've taken.
Right.
But, I will say, like, this is a pretty dark turn of events, fellas. Like, I think you just, when you're rightfully, you know, on your moral high horse about something, which is completely fair, and like the people that took a stand against Liv, like they did it for good reason, but I think you have to be careful when, you know, defending the morals of people you have no idea about, right? Like in terms of defending the PGA's morals and defending, you know, Rory McIlroy's morals and defending all these morals. And then this happens. It's like, well, crap, I put my neck out there. I feel for people like Gunnar, like a lot of the golf media, like Rory, like everybody who really stuck their neck out there.
Yeah.
Just have it be, you know, the rug ripped out from underneath them right in front of their face when, you know, Jay Monahan goes and plays a couple rounds of golf with some evil guys. And he's like, well, these guys aren't so bad.
I can look past drinking the puppy blood.
Yeah, it's like I said off the top, and I'll let Gunnar get in here. It's a pretty dark turn of events, though. I really can't believe we're talking about this.
Well, hold on. Before you answer, I did shows with both of you guys last summer, and I always said, Gunnar, I think you can, if you remember, I was never like the PGA Tour is the beacon of goodness because of their ties to the Chinese government. So, again, I never thought that it was like, you know, good versus evil. It was like evil versus less evil. What was your reaction now? What when you saw this bombshell drop yesterday, Guns, what was your initial reaction?
My very first initial reaction when I just saw the CNBC report and, you know, no shots to a reputable news organization, I thought it was fake news. I thought somebody was pulling my leg. I needed to see this from somewhere else. Like, honestly, I was floored when I saw it that I immediately went to this can't be real mode. And then obviously everything came out. I may have to go silent for a couple minutes here because I'm standing to the second or the right of the 10th fairway and some guy in the pro-am just nearly bonked me. So I'll continue to answer the question, but I'll have to hand it off to see or go my best Nance voice in a second. I thought I was safe. Okay. But in terms of what it means for the game of golf, yeah, it is. There is no lesser evil. They're all just evil now. And there's one entity, and the PIF bought it all. And, man, I was just sitting there. I was in Rory's presser, and, you know, people saying, oh, you feel bad for guys like me. Forget guys like me. That guy looked dejected. He has spent basically a calendar year, going back to this event last year, fighting the good fight just to have the rug ripped out from underneath him. And he looked so dejected at his presser just within the last hour here.
I was just reading some of the clips, the quotes kind of from some of the guys who were also in that press conference. The one that certainly stood out to me was the one about how he kind of felt like a sacrificial lamb. Was there anything in the Rory presser that also stood out to you?
I mean, he was very adamant that this isn't a partnership with LIV. This isn't LIV. This has nothing to do with LIV. He probably stated that about 20 different times. And quite honestly, I mean, I know the spin he's trying to make that LIV is probably going to go away and some new team entity backed by the exact same people with all the same interests is going to pop up. So that was kind of the spin he was trying to sell of it. I understand what he's saying, but it's a pretty, pretty tough sell given how that went there. So that was the other biggest one. And then him saying how much he still hates LIV and hates the guys. It was pretty forthright in that. There was not a walking back of his opinion on that. It was a little bit of a subdued nature to him, though, and the program is making its way to me, so it's as good a time to hand things over to Sam McKee.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Sam, obviously, again, like, and I hate, there's way too much virtue signaling now in society, but this is like, this is dirty blood money, and we all know what it represents and what it stands for. But Sam, like, throwing that aside, and it's tough to, you know, just toss your moral compass in the garbage, but as a golf fan, like, the possibilities here, maybe we see big time events in Europe and then in Australia. And now, like, this potentially
or
could be a
they
more...
have to be in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, great. Then, like, we're going to see more of a worldwide tour. No. And I think that's ultimately good for the game and maybe good for the sport here.
That's I think I have such a hard time knowing how to answer that, George, because we just have no idea. Like,
right.
It just happens so fast. Right, where none of the people were told on the tour, you know, the players' tour, none of these guys were told that this was happening. We really have no idea what this is going to look like, but, you know, it would be interesting to go some different parts of the world and see all that stuff. But I just, like, to play on the PGA Tour side of things, I just, to look back at what those guys said when they're about LIV, it's so funny, right? Think about it, being like, what's going on in the background? Is Gunnar getting yelled at
somebody? Is he getting shuffled off by security right now? Is that what's going on?
I just moved to a different spot. You guys will appreciate it. I went as far right in the rough as I possibly could, assuming only I could hit me there. Some guy near the window.
Okay.
So,
all right. But it is a pro-am. Like, it's, exactly. It is a pro-am.
Maybe. Well, I just, all these guys that said they want to play less golf and, you know, their reasoning for going over to LIV, it's like, God, those are so stupid. And ultimately, it was just about the money, like the PGA, right? So I think it could lead to some interesting stuff. Like, I wonder if there'll be ones where it'll be sort of like a LIV-style tournament where, you know, it's less holes. Maybe there's a team event where some of these other guys can compete in. And, you know, a couple weeks a year they do that. You know, there's DP World Tour involved. Like, I really don't know what it's going to look like. Sure, it could be good for the world of golf. And I think what they're kind of banking on is this initial blowback and this initial, you know, like, outrage, which there should be, will go away like it has in so many other sports. Like, that's been one of my biggest takes on this since the start is, you know, talking about, like, do you enjoy F1? Do you enjoy watching the Premier League? Do you enjoy watching the team that's about to win the treble in the English Premier League with Man City? Because they're run by, you know, Saudi. Like, it's, they're just really hoping that this sort of initial outrage goes away and then it's just back to normal and it's better. So, listen, I think it's a pretty dark thing that happened, but I do think, you know, there's a world that this is better for the game.
Mm. Let me get in on the global game thing. And I don't know, Maybe I am looking at it from a very different lens because I am a through and through North American sports fan. Like, I had a little dalliance with F1. Guess what? I'm back to not caring. And I think the one thing the PGA Tour does have going for it is a connection to all these various entities. Like, it comes to Toronto every year. It's going to go to Columbus. It's going to go to all of these various cities. And the more you lose that, I'm not saying golf becomes completely unpopular in North America, but I think you're chasing international dollars and it could very well cost you domestic ones. And hey, like, that's fine. There's obviously a lot more money elsewhere in the world. But I'm curious as to if we look back 10 years, because, I mean, hey, F1's super popular. But we don't have F1 conversations on a Thursday like we do every week about the PGA Tour. And I know some guys do, but it's not quite in the boon that we all thought it was going to be coming out of that Netflix show. So it is the great unknown in terms of how international this thing can go and, quite honestly, how beneficial that is or isn't.
Sam, I want your opinion here first. Bringing the teams over, how do we feel about that? Because it doesn't sound like LIV is going to be able to survive, but maybe they'll take a couple components from it and apply it to the tour.
I hope that they do. Like, I like the team golf for, like, maybe two times a year. Like, I don't think that's a horrible thing to bring in. Like, I watched a couple LIV tournaments, and, like, I know that's crazy to say that I was, like, one of the only 10 people that watched. But,
right,
like,
literally.
On the C-Dub or the stream?
On C-Dub, and then I think I put a couple up on YouTube, which was actually really great. No commercials. Like, you know, it had aspects where I was watching this, and I'm like, this is actually really intuitive, and the coverage was good, and, like, he had Faraday, and I was like, it's actually not bad, but, like, it was a little bit motocrossy, you know? So, like, if they could take some aspects of that and professional it up a little bit, you know, jazz it up a little bit, PGA Tour it up a little bit, like, I wouldn't be against having a couple team events in a, you know, maybe not full team, but, like, have that aspect in one or two tournaments a year. But there's absolutely no way that they're going to, like, break. Like, I've seen some people be like, if they bring team golf to the PGA Tour, I'm done. Like, no way they're doing that. Like, it's just that that's not even a quote. Like, the reason they did that, and I think I'll let Gunnar get in here too, is, like, they just wanted to kind of differentiate themselves from the tour and make it cool and make it this different thing. But now that they're all owned by the same thing, I don't think they're going to want to do that. Like, I really do think that this is just kind of the start of, you know, maybe something a little different, but I think it's just going to be kind of similar to what you watch most Sundays. No, Gunnar?
Yeah, I think it will as well, but there was a report last night that Bezos wants to get involved in potentially buying a team if there are franchises, and we all know how North American sports operates. Is if somebody's going to waive, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars for a franchise fee in your base, pretty hard to say no to that. But, you know, the idea of team golf, guess what? We have a team golf event. It's called the Zurich, and every year you and I, McKee, text about how we go, I'm not into it this year. So we all clamor for it, and then when it's here, we go, who cares? So I'm not saying you can't do it. I just don't think it's some kind of silver bullet that we're all looking for. I would love an idea if there is a, you know, you have your majors, and then, like, you have four team majors or something like that, and it's like a series across that. I could be talked into that. But then this goes against the whole idea of these guys wanting to play way less golf, which was the whole appeal of LIV. And then never mind the idea of how these guys are going to potentially be welcomed back in. I mean, Rory was pretty adamant about that when he was just asked. If they can't just come back, there has to be some pennants to be paid. And obviously that's a big question in and of itself. So yeah, the team golf thing is interesting, but I think we always think it's way sexier than it ends up being.
Well, I think the team golf, like, I wouldn't want to do it like they do the Zurich, which is the worst tournament of the year usually for me. I think I would prefer it to be like actually like Liv, where there's a leaderboard for the singles,
yeah.
Right? And then, right. You know, for a couple weeks a year, there is a team event, or maybe you have it for free and it's like three of the bigger ones. And I don't know. Like, I just think there's some interesting things you could do with it where you kind of expose, like, I don't hate that idea. Maybe a lot of PGA fans did. I didn't think it was the worst idea, but if you do it three or four times a year, I think it could be an interesting way of you know, yeah, keeping somebody interested who's not at the top of the leaderboard. Anyways, well, we can move off from that. I thought, you know,
well, there's
I got one thing I want to throw at you boys here. What about for these team events, they just do a couple of them a year, and then on the Wednesday, you do a televised draft, a la the old all-star drafts in the NHL where everyone's getting boozy and they're taking turns and you go like a big old snake draft selection for like 12 different teams the day before the tournament. Would you watch?
Love that idea. Love that idea.
That's a great idea. Never going to happen. Just like, yeah, you can pack that idea up and just put it away.
Yeah.
You save that when you win the lottery one day with your golf tour, because that is never going to happen. These guys put themselves in a vulnerable, like, who's signing up to go last? We've been through this with the NHL boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bunch of bags of milk out there. They're not like the most, you know, they don't have a ton of personality. So, yeah, I think that's probably not going to happen. It's not the NBA where it's just like dripping with personality.
If Koepka was going to go full rogue and just heel and like just chirping people and being ruthless, then you could do it. But you need five or six of those guys. They don't exist.
That's Brent Gunning. He's at Oakdale Golf and Country Club, the site of the RBC Canadian Open right now, alongside Sam McKee, the golf guys on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, joining us here on the Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. But what about Bubba Watson's son, who had the Aces tee in my son?
You see Joel David's tweet yesterday?
My son wanted, he's such an Aces fan. I feel for Bubba Watson's son. He didn't take the 100-plus schmil the Saudis were giving him. That had nothing to do with it. It was his son having the tee of the Aces. I feel for him. I really do.
Oh, God. He can cry like Woody Harrelson with his $100 bills. Oh, yeah. It's so ridiculous. All the guys walking after having to walk back their sanctimoniousness, there's a lot of just outright lies on the other side.
What I wanted to ask you guys, Brent, you first and then Sam second, how does Tiger play into this equation?
Very madly, I would think. I mean, look, we all know the number that was bandied about there. What was it, $700-800 million? And, you know, I'm sure there are some people out there who say, oh, he's already a billionaire. What does that matter? When it gets to that much, it matters. I think that there's some big, big fence mending to do. And then we had also heard about this idea of like the made-for-TV golf, like the Tiger Indoor Golf League, when the idea of team golf was being talked about in Rory's presser, that was thrown out as there. So I don't know. Maybe Tiger becomes kind of the face of team simulator golf in this new world, which, boy, that sounds so sad, but I think that's what it could be.
What are you guys looking at for this weekend? Obviously, there's a lot of stories going on with LIV and PGA, but there's a bunch of Canadians in the field for the tournament this weekend. How are you guys looking at this one?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have our National Open, there's a million Canadians that are going to be in contention. I mean, the guy to watch, of course, is Rory. I just see him the way he looked. He's at his best when he is flying high, and he looks pretty beat right now. So I would be staying away from him, given that he's a pretty heavy favorite. And then in terms of, you know, other notable names, I saw Cam Young poking around here. It's a guy with a ton of game who, in a slightly lesser field, could maybe take advantage of it. But, I mean, of course, you know, you look at all the Canadians, and, man, if we could ever get a winner, it'd be incredible. Like, Brooke Henderson won this tournament in Regina in her snow pants, so nothing can ever beat that. But if we could get a man to win this thing, it'd be pretty incredible.
Yeah, I'm thinking that either Rory, it'd be a decent bet because he's the betting favorite. I think he's like plus 450, which is just, don't do that, kid.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, do not bet on that. But I will say, like, if you're looking out there at a Rory missed the cut bet, I'm sure that pays pretty heavily. I watched some of that pressure today too, man. He does not look like he's in a good place. Plus, it's like you're playing in Dune right now in Toronto with the smoke, so maybe he's just going to want to get the hell out of here. Like, I don't picture this being the best weekend for Rory. Like, listen, I know what is he supposed to say, but, like, he went up there and he said, you know, when I remove myself from the situation, I look at the bigger picture, I think this is going to be good for the game. Like, he really had to eat some crow at this press conference, and like he's been slapped in the face by this. I could really see a bad performance from Roy this weekend and him not making the cut. Like, I know that's a crazy thing to say. Like, I do feel that this could be a weekend for one of the Canadians. I the field is kind of set up for it. Like, there's not a ton of top guys. Like, I know you got Degala, you got Matt Fitzpatrick, you got, other guy, Cam Young. You got some great players in the field, but I do kind of have a sneaking suspicion that this could be a weekend for one of the guys. You just have to pick the right one.
Sam, you think Corey Connors has recovered from melting down on 16 on Saturday at the PGA Championship yet?
I don't know. I always feel bad for slagging on Corey. He's a good Canadian boy. He's our best, probably our best player, but like, I have zero faith in him on a Sunday in a big spot. And I hate saying it because, like, you know, he's a product of Golf Canada, who I'm close with. And like, I love the program, but it's just, the putter melts down, the other parts of his game melt down. Like, I don't have the faith in him. So like, I'm sure he's going into this with the major championship pressure, as all the Canadians are, right? Like, this is a major for them this week. And I don't love him in a major. So I would be a little bit, if he's probably the betting Canadian favorite, he's probably, what is he, probably 14, 15 to 1. I would be staying far away from that one.
We saw the tweet from Mackenzie Hughes yesterday. I'm just wondering if there's any favorite tweets you might have saw over the course of the social media discourse yesterday that I might have missed that I can go and find, get a good chuckle later.
I'll jump in. McKee sent me one. It was just PGA Tour right now, and it was George W. Bush of, "We will find these terrorist killers and shoot them out," and then now watch me hit this drive.
Yeah. Exactly. I really thought yesterday was an all-time Twitter day. Like, I don't know if I've ever scrolled harder in my life. Like, I was just scrolling. But I do think I have two that I really liked. I don't know if you're Succession fans, but the final shot with Tom Wamsgans and Shiv and the PGA Tour and Liv together, I thought was excellent. And the other one was from Shooter McGavin, which is an elite Twitter follow if you don't follow Shooter McGavin. Phil Mickelson and the rest of Liv crashing at the Golf Channel set at the next PGA event, and it's just the WCW guys kicking the broadcasters out, which I thought was excellent as well. So, there's a lot of really good ones yesterday. I could go all day on that, but those are two of my faves.
Yeah, my favorite was the PGA Tour has holes 1-8 and 12-18, Liv has nine, and the Saudis have 9-11, which was incredible. An incredible tweet. Gentlemen,
so creative. Why can't I have one of those?
I know. Like, simply like, God, I should have thought of that.
I want one that's non-Leafs related, that like isn't me just whining to be good. Like, I would like one that's like goes absolutely viral, but it just never happens.
Listen,
one of these days.
Sam, I do appreciate when you look into the camera and you're dead serious. Please win tonight. Like, when you're so sincere in those.
They never do. Now we have your general manager who's never won anything either. So we're great.
Yeah, everything's fine. Hey, he knows how to make big trades. Listen, he has experience for American guys who don't want to be there to make big trades. He's got experience.
Right. Perfect. Who can be our Huberto?
Okay. Awesome. Gentlemen, great job.
You know this market, and they'd get very fired up about Mackenzie Weegar. Let's be honest.
Yeah, they would. They'd be super pumped. Yeah, I know. Hannifin's a guy that might get traded here. Maybe Brad can make a call to the Calgary Flames. Gentlemen, enjoy the golf. Thanks for jumping on today. Always fun. Enjoy the soap opera that is the PGA Tour, Live, and the DP World Tour, and enjoy the Open this weekend. Thanks, pals.
Thanks, pals. Always a pleasure.
Anytime, guys.
There he is. Brent, Sam McKee and Brent Cunning.
You almost slammed them together there.
I almost did. I almost called them Brent McKee, which is not right. And Sam McKee, Brent Cunning.
And Sam Gunning.
Yes.
The golf guys.
Yeah, and they're also diehard Leaf fans. Like, diehard Leaf fans.
Please win tonight.
Which is, like, Sam would have, like, that 1,000-yard stare. Like, please, for the love of God, win tonight.
I just need one more victory.
Yeah, just one more.
Until tomorrow, and then I'm going to need another one.
I wanted to talk out a little piece of business before we say goodbye today.
What does this mean?
If you missed our announcement yesterday, Alex has seven shows left before he says goodbye to us. He's moving on to bigger and better things.
Uh-huh.
We were going to do a live Brody on the Beat tomorrow, but I don't think we should do a live Brody on the Beat, Alex, because you only have two left. I think next week, I think tomorrow or tonight, you should go on the street and then play best of for the Thursday edition next week. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good idea. Best way to go about it, for sure.
Okay. Or next week, wait, you do your regular for tomorrow, and then next week we do a live and a best of all together.
I like that.
I'd get behind that, too.
Okay, so why don't we do that? Are you going to take intern Ben with you?
Today?
Yeah.
No, actually, I'm going to take our afternoon intern, Callum.
Oh, okay.
Trying to get all the interns in for
fresh
a little
meat.
Experience.
Fresh meat!
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay. that's interesting. Have we met? We haven't met Callum yet.
No, Callum just got...
When is he
we
coming
got the
here?
Email announcement like yesterday on Callum, oh. So he's got to do his 2 weeks in the afternoon. For
Can he stay awake past 7:30 on a Friday?
He seems like a pretty good guy.
He looks very chipper.
He's a legit
in his photos.
Dude. That he's legit. He can do this.
You like stay awake.
I think how do you know that?
Like, well, I just know he likes this business.
Scouting report.
He likes the sport. He likes the sports media business.
Yeah, I talked to some people.
Why does he like the sports?
Yeah,
media
he
business?
Shouldn't. Like it's no bueno. Telling you.
Not in Canada.
Dude, what are
you
talking about?
You know the song, Mama, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys?
Yes.
Mama, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Media People. Ooh, tough business, let me tell you.
Mm.
Yeah, it's it takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have some thick skin.
Yeah. I got called pathetic today. That was good.
Oh.
Well, yeah. I also got lectured on about how I should host the show yesterday by a texter. Thank you for your feedback.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah.
I enjoy that.
Wedley says we need one more GVP Brody general knowledge quiz.
Sorry.
We are tied. We're deadlocked.
Yeah, we need
it's
a rubber match.
Yeah. Okay. GVP would have to come in to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get that done.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a pit bull? What do you got coming up? Like, you want to talk about timing. Like, you get Peter
Galindo
on. Yeah, and
I booked him 2 days ago, too.
Yeah, the day that Lionel Messi's going to Inter Miami.
Like, yeah,
what crazy timing.
The world footy game right now is just blown up with...
Yeah, like high five.
Messi, sometimes you hit the bingo.
Messi to Inter Miami. You got Jude Bellingham leaving Dortmund, going to Real Madrid.
Like, Maddie can't stop talking about that.
Man,
right?
Dartmound, am I right?
Dartmound. It's big day in the sporting, in the
footy world.
Sure.
Alex, are you ready to say goodbye to us with the Pitbull song?
Yes.
All right.
You want to hit it?
Chuck it up.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's so good.
I feel like I had to leave us with this. It was a busy show. We had Adam Stanley on all the way back in hour one. Dave Dickinson teed up the Stampeders season opener. That's an exciting one that goes tomorrow. And Eric Francis had an update on the Flames head coaching search. So if you missed any of that, you can grab the pod, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon. I'm the one posting it there, so I know it's good.
I know it's good.
Yeah. Okay, bud.
Up next, we've got Patrick Dumas with Peter Galindo and Big Shower 4. Stick around for that. Some big soccer news. And yeah, I want to make the most of these last few shows, so let's have some fun.
No, who requested this?
Oh, me? Can I?
Okay.
This was I think it was requested, but I felt this was mandatory.
All right. Tonight. Talk to you tomorrow.
Everything tonight. Bye.